Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hello, everyone.
Good morning.
Many salutations and many greetings and a many to you and yours as well. I am Mini Ian Mini Allred, and I'm a Mini Gleek.
I am Mini Lita Mini Knatzer, and I am also a Mini Gleek. What is up, you guys? How's it going? Welcome to our mini-sode. What mini-sode is this? 8?
Probably.
Wow.
I think
it is. Can you believe we made it this far? Yeah. It is 8. Wow. Can you believe we really did that?
Wow.
Let's get into it.
8 is great. And to kick us off, 8 is great. Let's hear from Kate to kick us off. We have a voicemail from Katie.
Hi. My name is Katie. My pronouns are she, her. Sorry, I literally did not know I was recording because my phone is slow. I'm from Ohio. I just want to say that, first of all, I love you guys so much. I laugh out loud in my car when I listen to this by myself. People probably think I'm crazy. Second of all, I just finished listening to your Britney podcast, and I just want to say I am so disappointed in the lack of commentary on the sheer campiness of Stronger. I just finished rewatching the episode, and when Finn did his body roll, I literally laughed out loud. And also the shot of Artie, like, every time he's like lifting weights and it gets bigger every single time, then like there's one where he's like bench pressing with one arm. It's so funny, and I just want to hear your thoughts on it because you didn't talk about it as much in depth. Okay, I have 5 seconds left. I love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye. Well, we just watched it together. We just did a screen share and rewatched it together. Ian, what did you think of Stronger?
Yeah. Katie, you were right. It's very funny. This is a problem I always am worried about, is we love to just, you know, slam on Glee that I often feel bad that we don't give credit where credit is due a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And Stronger is very funny. And like, yes, we did talk endlessly about how it makes literally no sense for Artie to be on the football team, but the image of him being carried by those three guys and knocking down all those other football players is absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
And yeah, the montage of the weightlifting and it getting up the whole time, it's great.
And the way he's like looking into the camera, like right in the eyes, is very good. I do like that about Britney is like the fourth wall is just like kaput, and everyone's just like looking in the camera. I love it. It's like a music video.
And that's the beauty of them essentially just being like, it's all fantasy sequences, everyone, because then they can do all this ridiculous campy stuff. And you're like, oh, I just enjoy how ridiculous and campy it is.
Yeah.
And like, they didn't try and force it into the story in some weird way.
And I think we said this in the episode, I think Kevin McHale sounds incredible singing it. Mm-hmm. I love this version of Stronger. It's very good. So sorry to everyone who was upset that we didn't talk about it long enough.
Sorry to Kevin McHale. I know that you paid Katie to send this message in because you're very upset that we didn't give you your due. So here's your due.
Here's your due. We do. Our episodes are very long. It's interesting that we don't cover everything. Every once in a while, we'll get a message that's like, you didn't even talk about this. And I'm like, honestly, I don't even know how we didn't talk about it. That, like, that episode is 2.5 hours long. We could say every line 2 times.
And it would still be shorter than us talking about the episode.
I know. Well, thank you, Katie, for that message. Up next, we have a voicemail from Aiden.
Hey, y'all. It's Aiden again. First of all, I just want to say that I am very happy to be a trendsetter because it seems like everyone is asking you to cast the Glee cast in various things. Second of all, this has nothing to do with anything, but I just need y'all to know that I am a full-time college student, double major, student teacher, and also have a job. So I can't fully justify listening to like a 1 to 2 hour podcast. So I actually listen to y'all's podcast in 2x speed. And hearing your laughs in 2x speed is literally my favorite thing in the world. And I just need y'all to experience what I've been experiencing for the past couple of episodes.
Are you saying you look kind of angry because that is high
praise? That is what I'm saying. You would just like her.
Well, we could be twins.
Honestly, I've always thought so. Thank you for that message. Very good points.
Your laughs are my favorite thing in the world in 2x speed. Please listen to your own podcast in 2x speed. You'll love it. Okay, have a good day. Thanks, bye.
How on earth do people do that? We've gotten a few messages like that say that they listen to our podcast in 2x speed. And I feel like you guys are like superhuman. How do you hear that? That's so cool.
I have tried to listen to different podcasts on 2x speed, and it gives me anxiety. I feel like I have, because frankly, I listen to podcasts to have like nice background noise, to
feel less alone.
Exactly. And if it's on 2x speed, I'm so like, I have to be hyper aware and focused to follow what's going on. It stresses me out. It's no longer therapeutic. Yeah. So kudos to everyone.
Yeah.
Who
smarty pants
listens to us on 2x speed. Have fun trying to figure out why I'm saying right here. I'm talking as fast as possible because I want people to play it in 1x speed so they don't understand if they're fast forwarding it so that they don't get stressed out.
Well,
I don't. Could you understand
you really
that at 1x speed?
Them.
I stumbled over every word in that sentence.
Well, Aiden, thank you so much for setting that trend. They were the person who told us to cast High School Musical in the first place. And we love to do it. Speaking of, we got a little message from Adia this week. We got an email and she said, this is why I don't read the emails. If Glee were to do a Heather's dedicated episode, who would you cast? And who would Ryan Murphy cast? Let's party, shall we? Okay, here's what I think. And then I'll tell you also what Adia said. Adia said that Chandler should be Santana, Duke should be Quinn, Brittany should be McNamara, JD should be Mike, Veronica, Mercedes, Kurt and Ram, Finn and Sam, Martha, Rachel, and then Mrs. Fleming should be Kurt. I like that list. Here's mine, though. I think that Veronica should be Mercedes for sure. Chandler should be Santana, no doubt. I think the Duke should be Rachel. And I think that McNamara should be Tina. What are your thoughts?
I agree with them that we should have this is just like, I like their idea of having the unholy trinity as the Heathers. I would just switch Santana and Quinn and have Quinn be Chandler. And
I wish
speaking,
you could do it though.
Speaking vocally though, especially because in the new licensed version of Heathers, Duke has a full song. Duke is much more of a belt role than Chandler is now. Frankly.
I guess that's true. Ian and I, when we did Heathers, we did the old version of Heathers. So they did a big rewrite and we did the pre-rewrite Heathers. So I don't even know that version very well.
And frankly, the original Heather Chandler, I'm trying to look up her name now. Her name is Jessica Keenan-Wynn.
Oh, yeah.
She doesn't have a big belt at all.
She's like an alto, yeah.
Yeah, she is mixing that whole show. So
yeah,
I think there is... Yeah, I think there is precedence that Quinn could pull off Heather Chandler. But every time I've ever heard a Heather Duke, she always has a huge belt.
Yeah.
And so I personally would put Santana as Duke. And also, like, power dynamic-wise... Quinn is the head cheerleader. Santana is the one who's bitter that she's not the head cheerleader.
And dare I say that if Ryan Murphy were to cast it, that's what he would do.
Yeah, 100%. I think so, too.
if this was an actual episode of Glee, that's what would happen.
Yeah.
Since this is my episode of Glee, I think Chandler should be Santana, and I think that Duke should be Rachel, and that McNamara should be Tina. And, like, could you imagine her singing Lifeful? She'd be so cute.
That would be so cute. And also, so Chandler's cute. The bigger character, and I do love more Santana.
Yes, absolutely. And then for JD, Ian didn't know who he would cast as JD. I had a very clear answer from the beginning. Not a McKinley High student, but Jesse St. James.
Oh, woof.
Could you imagine?
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
Wouldn't that be everything? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Mercedes and Jesse. I'm losing my mind. That would be incredible. Okay, Kurt and Ram. Adia said that they would do Finn and Sam. I said Azemio and Karofsky. You said Azemio and Karofsky last week. I have not stopped thinking about it.
Let's put Azemio and Karofsky in every show.
I think they'd be awesome. They just literally, like, Azemio and Karofsky are Kurt and Ram. Like, they are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then our dear Martha. Martha is who I played when we did Heather's in college. So I said that if they didn't have anyone to do it, that I would transfer to McKinley and do it for them. Or I said that Unique could do it. I think she'd be super cool. But also, she's not a student yet, so we'll see about that. And then I also included the preppy stud in there because that's who Ian played when we did it. And I said that Sam should be the preppy stud.
Wow, what an honor for Sam.
I know, it's a great role.
The star of the show, the preppy stud. He gets to say, Veronica, you look hot tonight. That's like one of his only three lines the whole thing.
I don't know, in our production, I felt like you were a pretty big part. So.
Well, in our production, I was blocked front and center during Big Fun, and I scandalized everyone in the audience.
You did. It was so gross.
Truly, our director gave me free rein to just get as suggestive as I wanted in all the group numbers. I remember there was a tweet that was like, Ian's hips deserve their own billing in the program for Heather's. Because I truly, and it was also funny because we've mentioned this on the minisode before, like in our theater department, I was the person that everyone was like, Ian is like very innocent and pure and like he like is really religious and blah, blah, blah. And then they saw Heather's and I was by far the most like openly suggestive and crass person in the show.
You totally were.
Oops, sorry, everyone.
I remember I barely knew you at the time, too. But all I knew is that you, we had gone on a group date before.
Mm-hmm.
And we had, like, done rehearsals together and we had done D&D together. But we, like, didn't know each other very well. And then, and I also knew that you were, like, still LDS and, like, fairly like tame, and I saw you do that and I was like, what is going on?
I contain multitudes, everyone. I'm a layered person.
And then the last casting thing I have on here is they have like two adult men in the show, and I said that Finn should play at least one of them. That's all I have. Okay. If Ryan Murphy were to do this, I think he would probably no doubt put Rachel in as Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
Do the Unholy Trinity as the Heathers, no doubt, with Quinn at the helm with Chandler. I think that Finn would be JD. And I think he could probably do it. He sometimes has that like belty like rock voice that I think he could probably do it. It'd probably have to be modified in bits, but I think he'd be fine.
I truly don't know who he would put as JD, because I feel like I agree with them that he would put Finn and Sam as Kurt and Ram, but maybe it would be like Puck and Sam. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. I think it'd be Puck and Sam, I think, personally. Then Martha would be Mercedes, and then Miss Fleming would be Tina. Well, heck,
there it is.
Thank you so much for that message. We love to cast things. Up next, we have an email from Hannah.
All right. Hey, y'all. My name is Hannah, and I'm from Michigan, so I'm sad that I don't get an international listener jingle.
Hannah, here is a song for you. Hannah from Michigan. Popeye's chicken.
Wow. First off, I'm so excited for y'all to be getting to the Britney episode, as it's one of my favorites. As someone who is closeted and growing up in a conservative household in a small town, seeing Britney and Santana perform Me Against the Music as a 15-year-old changed something in me. Fun fact, my mom wouldn't let me watch Glee because she thought it would make me gay. I guess she was right. Now the will of it all. Will in this episode disgusts me even more than usual. He is not only ignoring the input of his students and what they want to do, but he is also out of control when it comes to Emma and Carl's relationship. He acts as if Emma belongs to him, and it's really gross. Plus, when Carl was trying to level with him and get him to respect the idea that he was with Emma, Will basically says, "Game on, bro. Sir, Emma isn't leaving part-time Beach Boy John Stamos for your thong song." Thirdly, Will performing Toxic with the kids haunts me. It's disgusting, it's revolting, it's an awful sight, and I hate it. Love the podcast. I'm an essential worker on the front line, so I really appreciate your episodes every week. Y'all are really funny, and even if I don't understand half the musical theater references you make, I'm sure, Hannah, you loved the last 7 minutes where we exclusively talked about musical theater. Even if I don't understand half the musical theater references you make, it's a very engaging pod that I look forward to every week. Recovering Hannah the Gleek.
Thank you so much, Hannah, for that, and thank you for straight up your service. That's thank you.
Yeah.
Up next we have a voicemail from Joya.
Hi Lena and Anne, it's Joya, she they. I just listened to the Britney episode, which is my favorite episode. I love it so much. The two Britney episodes are my favorite. But there's one thing that I can never get out of my head since I've watched it. I love John Stamos. He's great. But John Stamos, terrible dentist. If you notice, and it starts at like 15 minutes, he's giving Will his like checkup, and he has his hand in his mouth. Carl touches Will's mouth, and then he puts his hands on the seat he's sitting on. And then he takes off the glasses and puts them on the seat. And then Will asks for a cup and he still has the gloves on. And then he touches the seat again and he puts it back in Will's mouth. And then he gets up and he touches the clipboard and then he puts it back in Will's mouth and he cleans his tool. And then he touches that candy jar.
Joya, that the message got cut off there. This is the exact, incredibly specific, but incredibly thorough and thought out criticism that I absolutely adore to hear.
Me too.
I love nothing more than someone picking up on something so inconsequential in the background and then like really digging into what that means for the series as a whole. It's so funny. Truly, Carl is just spreading gingivitis from patient to patient. That man is touching everything.
Yeah, literally. And his seat. Gross. That's where his butt goes.
Yeah, and then he like picks his nose and he's so like, much. Anyways, Will, let's dive back in.
Anyways. Ugh. In COVID times? No way. Joya, thank you so much for that message. You're the best. up next, we have a voicemail from Ella.
Hello. Okay, I really hope that I'm sending this email to the correct place. Hello, Lena and Ian. My name is Ella. She, her pronouns. I know that we are very consistently asking you guys to cast Glee characters into different things, but today I was listening to Dear Evan Hansen, and I was feeling like I wanted to listen to something angry, so I was listening to Good For You, and the sidekick character whose name I can't remember, and I'm not going to Google it. I think it might be Mike. I'm not sure. He comes on with his whole thing, and I was just like, if this isn't Ian Allred, I don't know. I just feel like, Ian, I feel like you have a lot of anger inside of you. It just seems like it's there. I feel it in Lena, too, but Lena, I'm sorry. I haven't gotten it yet with you. I think maybe the main character from Dogfight would suit you really well. I'm really not sure, but I just wanted to tell you guys, I have more. I'll email.
The message, just a blanket rule for all Minnesota. If they stop talking halfway through, it just means they got timed out.
Yeah.
Ella. Okay. First off, I am 99.9% sure that the character you're talking about is Jared.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, I would die to play Jared.
Yeah.
And also, this is so stupid, but Hogwarts Housewives, you know, I'm 25. So, of course, asking people what their Hogwarts house is, mm-hmm. Is like a necessary step in getting to know people. And yeah. I'm a Slytherin. And anytime that I tell someone I'm a Slytherin and they say, no, you're not, I always think this person has a very surface level friendship with me.
Yeah, they do not know you. Clearly,
they only know, like, how I present myself to the world because I think I should be, like, a polite person. And I just, like, so many people are, so many people are always like, Ian, you're just, like, so happy-go-lucky. And the fact that you are, like, I feel like you have a lot of anger boiling under there just proves how much of myself I have aired on this podcast.
Ella, you are a very good judge of character.
You are a very good judge of character. I get so up in arms about the dumbest stuff.
You guys would be surprised at how angry Ian is as a person. I think you're a nice person, definitely. And we've talked about this a little bit. Like, we just were talking last night, and I was like, I feel like I was just saying that I think you're nice to me. And he's like, well, I've toned it down.
Like, oh, I was a menace during, like, middle school and high school.
Yeah,
I was,
totally.
And I would do that thing. This is a conversation Lena and I had last night, where I would do that thing where, like, I'd insult people as a joke. And I was like, I'm saying it because it's not true. And then at one point I was like, but maybe, like, even if it's not true, you don't say that stuff to people
still not all the nice. Time.
So thankfully that's gone away. But
yeah. Am I full of anger? Do you think I'm full of, like...
No, I've said this before to you, I believe, that I was like, we're a very good match for this podcast because we both bring very different things to the table. Yeah. And I think you bring a lot of heart, whereas I bring like zero heart. Just think, like, you feel things very strongly and you are very like, talk about how everything like means so much to you and is so special to you. And then I come in and I'm like, so this plot point sucked. And here's like an itemized list of all the reasons that it was bad.
True. Yeah, that is true. And I think where people might get like anger from me is I do just feel everything so much. So oftentimes the bad feelings I feel are also like turned up to 11. So that might be where you're getting that. You would be a great Jared in Dear Evan Hansen. I also want you to play Connor in Dear Evan Hansen really bad. You'd be a bomb-ass Connor, especially with your long hair right now.
Oh,
and
my
black
gosh.
Black fingernail polish, you'd look great. And I want to play Rose in Dogfight so much. It is physically painful to me. Do you remember that night we were driving to Disneyland and we sang through the Dogfight soundtrack and we like looked at each other and we were like, we have to put this show on now!
We do.
I swear, every time we talk about theater together, we're like, let's do this show together!
This minisode is actually just us desperately trying to get a job. Well, you know, we love to talk about
it. Honestly feel bad. I'm sure that some people don't like this. I read that freaking, we got that review that was like, these people need to shut up about themselves. I'm sorry. Sorry, you guys. I think it's fun. People ask. I tell them. Well, thank you, Ella. That is so kind. I thank you for fluffing our ego for a second. Up next, we have a voicemail from Rachel.
Hey, guys, it's Rachel. Okay, so I had an epiphany. You guys were talking about Will and Terry's relationship and how it was all like one-sided and blah, blah, blah. And I thought about it. Okay, so... relationship-wise, Will's brain is still in high school because they were high school sweethearts. And his entire relationship, he had been manipulated, so that's what he thinks love is. He thinks manipulation is a sense of love, and that's why he treats all these women the way that he does. There was more to that in my brain. But anyway, I think that's the way, that's why he acts like he acts, because he thinks that that's the way he's supposed to act. Anyway, all right. Sounded better in my head. But anyway, okay. Bye.
Rachel, that sounded good in real life, so thank you. I like that. I don't think I've ever thought about Will in that way, so thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, and when his marriage breaks up with Terry, he does like really go through it and like mm-hmm. makes out with Shelby that same night and then like gets together with Emma and then breaks up with Emma and all that stuff. And it is like he's been in that one relationship for what, like 20 years now? And it wasn't exactly a healthy relationship. He's mm-hmm. never known what it's like to A, be single, or B, be in a non-toxic relationship.
Yeah.
Do I like him? No.
No.
Do I understand him a little more? Yes.
Yeah, I guess. Thank you, Rachel, for pointing that out. up next, we have an email from Arwia.
Hi, Lena and Ian. My name is Aria. She, her pronouns. I absolutely love the podcast. I actually didn't find you guys on TikTok. I listened to Showmance, but they're on hiatus right now, so I wanted a new Glee podcast and found you guys back in November. I wanted to send you guys a voicemail, but I was way too nervous, but I had to reach out about Brittany because I have so many thoughts and it's my favorite episode. I realize this episode does absolutely nothing for the plot, and this is just an excuse for them to do a bunch of overproduced numbers, and I'm willing to forgive them for that. Since it's my favorite and I've seen it an embarrassing amount of times, I will compile my thoughts in a condensed bullet point list because I have a fuck ton of thoughts and feelings about this godforsaken show, and you do not deserve to be put through all of them. 1. Kurt and Tina no solo because why? They were the most passionate about doing Britney, mm-hmm. but Rachel had no opinion, yet she gets 2. 2. Do none of these kids have dentists of their own? Like, why do they all go to Carl? Is he giving them discounts? 3. When did Jacob and Israel take that video? She's referencing the video he's masturbating to in the library where he's, like, interviewing Rachel, everyone.
Thank you.
I just, you know, context is important.
I know.
The timeline doesn't add up, and they didn't think we'd notice, but I did. 4. Will's fucking shirt. He is wearing a different shirt than everyone else. He really thinks this is some Selena Gomez in the scene shit. Please take several seats. I hate him. 5. As soon as Emma told Will that him doing Britney with children didn't turn her on, why the fuck would it? He was like, no more Britney and Glee because it no longer fits my agenda. 6. Rachel, the whole episode. Finn, even though you were on the football team when you cheated on your cheerleader girlfriend with me and when you told me you loved me and when you were actively pursuing me while I dated Jesse, I will break up with you if you rejoin the football team. 7. I hate the ending of this episode. Rachel crying, singing a dramatic song. She could have just sang What I Did for Love again if the writers are going to keep making her the focus like that. Sorry, I know you guys are Rachel stands first, 20-something rando second. I am so sorry about how embarrassingly long this was. I have 2 closing thoughts before I leave you alone. 1, either I wasn't paying very good attention when Matthew Morrison was on Showmance, or he doesn't think Shu being intoxic was weird. 2, have y'all noticed that a lot of times Rachel will wear a skirt in group numbers when everyone else is in shorts or pants? What do you think that's about? It really annoys me. Maybe she's like Will and wants to stand out. Thank you, Aria.
Here's my answer to that. I have a theory. It's my headcanon that Leah Michelle just likes wearing skirts better.
That's very possible. Also, this might just be because Leah Michelle didn't want to wear pants. I physically cannot picture high school Rachel in pants.
She wears pants a couple times in season one. I've noticed it.
Oh, I only can picture her in the pantsuit. That's all I can picture.
Yeah. There's a scene where she is like one of the first couple of episodes. She's like talking with Finn in the choir room and she's wearing pants. And I remember thinking it was weird. I don't know. This was also the time. Hear me out, you guys. No one was wearing like, maybe this is just in my mind, like, wearing dresses and wearing skirts was, I feel like, pretty in style. And maybe it's not. Oh my God, I have no idea. My mind is so warped. But like, I noticed that Rachel didn't wear pants. And you know what? Me neither. I noticed that. I was like, Rachel doesn't wear pants. I'm not going to wear pants. And I never did. I'm not sure what that's about.
I think, frankly,
let's get on the podcast and let's ask.
Yeah, let's get the customers of Glee on the podcast. Yeah. If you're listening, we'd love to have you on. I think it probably was just a customer thing because they do a pretty good job, the customers, of giving each of the characters like a fashion identity and kind of like, I mean, some of their fashion identities like change throughout time, but they all have like a very specific look in how they dress. So I'm sure they were like, let's just keep Rachel in skirts regardless of what other people are wearing, because like it fits what we want to do with this character.
Totally. someone sent us a DM a couple weeks ago. I forget who it was, but if you're listening, thank you so much for saying this. They also mentioned that some of the characters who are more low income like end up like re-wearing outfits. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so smart because you see like, you know, Quinn, she never repeats outfits other than her Cheerios uniform. And then I just think that's really cool. I think that's really smart.
Well, we talked about this on the season one throwback. I truly think, especially in these early seasons, and I think it's part of the reason that this show has so many people watching it, despite how all of its many flaws. I truly think everyone involved with this show was so passionate about this show.
Yeah, totally.
And you can tell, like, the props department was having a lot of fun with it. Like, look at all the pamphlets in Emma's office. They could have just found pamphlets, but they make all these hilarious pamphlets that you literally have to pause to even appreciate. The costumers, mm-hmm. like, really thought about, like, the like economic income of these characters' families and like tried to have some of them repeat and like tried to give them each their individual looks. Like, I really think that the people behind the scenes of the show mm-hmm. really believed in the show.
Totally.
And like, I don't think there were many people working on the show in these first few seasons that viewed it as just another job. I think they all totally. Really wanted to make something special. And you know,
I think they did.
They did. I don't know if they made something that is necessarily objectively good, but it is for sure special, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, me too. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Aria. Thank you. Okay. Up next, we have a voicemail from Rachel.
Hi, Ian and Lena. This is Rachel, she, her pronouns. I just finished listening to your Brittany episode, and it was fabulous, as always. You guys started the episode by talking about Dimension 20, which, oh my God, Lena, that is my favorite D&D actual play show ever. I would listen to y'all talk about D&D for hours. Please tell me all about your characters. Please. I remember watching this Brittany episode live, and every single time I have ranch on pizza, I think about this episode without fail. Also, Lena, you have such an amazing voice. I mean, duh, you studied musical theater in college, but yeah, you've got an absolutely incredible voice. You should definitely sing more. Yeah, you both are amazing. Thank you so much for this podcast. Bye.
Rachel, didn't you hear? She will be singing when she plays Rose in our production of Dogfight. Everyone buy tickets and then also email a bunch of producers and tell them that they need to put on the show.
Rachel, thank you so much for that message. I didn't even know that Ian was going to put in me singing in the episode, but he did. I feel like every time he pees, I like am doing like just weird shit. And he put that in, and now people know that
your secret's out.
My secret's out. I'm a secret singer. I'm like Hannah Montana. But thank you so much. Should we talk about our D&D characters?
Yeah, we'll keep it. We'll keep it a little briefer.
We'll keep it brief.
But I mean, at least one of the people wants to know. Do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay. So, as you know, as our friend Ella so succinctly observed, I have just residual anger. It's mostly faded away, everyone. I am like a pretty chill person, and then every once in a while I get like unnecessarily mad about something that is of no importance.
If you were an asshole, I wouldn't be your friend.
But like truly, when I was 13, I wanted to have had a hard life to justify all my angst so bad, but I didn't have. I had like a very easy and privileged life, but I like so I would listen to like all of this music about how like life is terrible to me. Like, heck yeah, life is terrible. I'm upper middle class,
I'm
white and male.
Kid,
no one gets
life
it.
Life is a nightmare.
So. So I just love to use D&D to funnel all of my completely unmotivated angst into a character who actually does have a life that would motivate all that angst. Mm-hmm. So get ready, you guys. My character's backstory is about to get way emo. So I also am like way big into like looking up, like making sure the names are like mean stuff and like dumb crap like that. So my character's name from our campaign, his name was Naquam. Everyone, which
Naquam. I heard that name in years.
I'm no linguist. Literally, this is going off of Google Translate. According to Google Translate, that's Latin, I think, for trash. So, Naquam came from a magical family, but he was born without powers, everyone. And so, he was like the shame of his family. He was a squib. And he was always treated as like a secondary member of the family, and he was all pissed about it. And then it was all this stuff. Oh, I can't get into all of it, but like his dad was abusive, and his mother, like his mom died during childbirth of his younger sister. And so his dad got like all abusive towards his younger sister. And then he and the sister like ran away and lived on their own forever. But his sister had like a ton of untapped abilities. And then she got like kidnapped by a cult who like worshiped her as a god. And then he got all bitter because like he didn't know where his sister was and his family was terrible. And then his older sister like turned evil and like she was off causing wreck, like a bunch of disaster. And then his brother had like a big stick up his butt and was like perfecty perfect and like worked for the government. And Naquan was just like the black sheep of the family, and he was a rogue because he didn't have magic and he was all pissy at everything. Truly, the backstory, as I mentioned, is like 15. No, that's an exaggeration. It's like 7 pages long. But it is not double-spaced. I really got into it. All the family members all have different names that mean different things in Latin.
Yeah. And we, like, met them all in the campaign.
And let me tell you, I have a sneaking suspicion that my character was our DM's favorite because we met all of my family members, and a large portion of the campaign was about trying to save my younger sister. So it was pretty dope. So sometimes a lot of unnecessary angst can lead to good things if you channel it in the right way.
If you do it to play tabletop role play games.
Yeah. All right, Lena, hit it up.
Okay. So I played a character named Jade. Man, do you miss playing D&D or what?
I miss it so much.
Jade was a drow or a dark elf, and she was a sorcerer. She essentially was just Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy. So she had like, her backstory was that she was like from the Underdark, and she was a part of a big like mafia family. And her dad was like a big mob boss, and she had a twin sister who ended up dying, who ended up being killed on like a mission that Jade and her sister were on. Her name was Ruby, obviously, because we were Jade and Ruby. And she ended up dying. And then, like Jade was framed for her sister's murder, like by like the mafia, like family. So she was like on the run, and then she met up with the campaign. So she's like in hiding from her like mafia roots. It was bomb as hell. I only met like 2 people from my backstory, and one of them was a player from another campaign that we met up with in like the big end game. Do you remember that? That
was we literally fun.
And then we fought. It was awesome.
We found out that our DM had been running another campaign that took place in the same universe and hadn't told us. And then we had a big meetup campaign with them that we called D&D Endgame.
We called it Endgame.
And it turned out
it was like right before the Endgame was coming out, so it was like all we were thinking about.
Yeah, and it turned out that like one of them was my half brother because my dad had like had an affair.
God. Yes,
and we
God.
Had to like track down my dad together because there was like some weird prophecy about like his lineage and that they would cause great destruction, and like that's why my sisters were so powerful. And then like one of them was related to you, and it turned out that our DM them, had like secretly made all of our stories intertwined with each other. It was dope.
One of them I had like. He was also a drow, and his family was killed by the mafia, so he wanted to kill me the whole time. It was so fun! Oh my god, I want to play D&D so bad. Jeez.
All right.
Well, Rachel, thanks so much for that message. Very sweet. Thanks for letting us indulge ourselves with talking about D&D. up next, we have an email from Peyton.
All right, bring us home, Peyton. Dear Lena and Ian, my name is Peyton, pronouns she, her, writing to you from NYC. I started listening to your podcast at work in November and finally caught up and thought it would be a disservice for me to not send you an email about all of my thoughts and feelings thus far. I found this podcast because my boyfriend Trey, who is a closeted Gleek, worked with you both at USF. That's a theater we worked at, everyone. So I low-key know you both via stories he shared. All good things, don't worry. And my virtual friendship with Ian on Twitter. What's up, Peyton? How are you? I also visited the festival and saw just about every show, so I have had the absolute honor of seeing you both perform. I was telling my boyfriend the other day, if you would have pointed to these two people at your Shakespeare festival and told me these two random 20-somethings are going to be a very important part of your life next year, I would have thought you were a maniac, yet here we are. First of all,
sweet.
I know, it's very nice. First of all, I was a Gleek the second the pilot aired. I was in sixth grade, which was very unfortunate for me because I was already a weird middle schooler without the I'm a Gleek bracelets I wore every day. Think the I Love Boobies bracelet, but Glee. I would have literally died for Blaine Anderson and downloaded just about every song he sang onto my pink iPod Nano. My community theater would have Night of Glee concerts in the summer where we would rehearse for months and put on a concert strictly using songs sung on Glee. How absurd. I never made it to season 6 of the show because I was so emotionally unstable from the passing of Corey Monteith and the quarterback episode. I was like 15 and had never sobbed at a TV show the way I did in that episode. My eyes were straight up puffy the next day. So years passed, Glee is a different, distant memory. Fast forward to March 2020 and I'm spending 6 hours a day on TikTok.
Me too.
Glee was getting a renaissance and I had literally nothing else to do because I have a BFA in musical theater.
Retweet.
I decided to rewatch Glee. I would spend 12 hours straight watching Glee circa March, April pandemic. So many episodes I was crying at for no God-given reason. The show is quite literally an emotional roller coaster. Anyway, I got to rewatching season 4 and I felt icky and bad because one, every season closer to season 5, episode 3 hurts my heart a little bit. And two, I forgot how much season 4 just does not feel like Glee. It genuinely feels like two different shows are happening at the same time. This, I will get into more when you make it to season 4 because I have a lot of thoughts and opinions. So I stopped my rewatch of Glee because I missed the first 3 seasons too much. Discovering that I could relive the first 3 seasons of Glee over a prolonged period of time inspired me to start listening to Recovering Gleek, and thank God. Also, I will stick around longer than season 4, I promise. I love listening to this podcast so much, I'm not sure how to quite explain it. You have created the perfect blend of letting us relive the episodes of Glee and providing a relatable, funny, and modern commentary on the episodes. Your praises and criticisms are so well thought out and so well articulated, you also occasionally take the thoughts right out of my head and speak them. I get very frustrated thinking about plots Glee could have had and what the show could have been. If Sam was gay and Kurt's boyfriend, what a loss. Ryan Murphy always goes too far. He never knows when to leave a good thing as is and always, always, always finds a way to ruin it. Every season of American Horror Story goes on slightly too long and he finds a way to completely undo all the good things he accomplished in that season. It's like he designed some shows to be 10 episodes long and then, after finishing the script, he finds out that the show is actually 12 episodes long and he has to come up with 2 more episodes as fast as he can. The man just doesn't know when to quit. This is why Glee gets so derailed and so many good things never happen and good characters are never fleshed out. Not to mention his obsession with certain actors that drives the stories to entirely center around them and their wants and their needs. But that is a conversation for another day. Anyway, I just super love this podcast so much and I'm so grateful that you decided to make this. I don't even like podcasts and this is the first one I've genuinely listened to and enjoyed. You both are doing such an amazing job and I can't wait for future episodes. Keep up the amazing work, Peyton.
Thank you, Peyton.
That was very nice. Also, everything you said about Ryan Murphy.
Yeah. Amen. It's so true. Yeah.
He truly doesn't know how to start with the end in mind.
I know. I only got to like season 3.5 of American Horror Story. And I remember the second season, I was like, wow, this is very good. And then the last couple episodes, I was like, what is... Who? Wait, what happened to the what? You know?
Well, my personal favorite thing that Ryan Murphy has made is Scream Queens season 1. I think it's so funny. But even with Scream Queens season 1, I was watching it with my brother Alex, and the last 3 episodes, we were like, this show's really losing its way right now. It started out so strong, and then like, I actually really like the way it ends, and I think it ends well, but like the 11th hour episodes of that show, you're like, man, he really is just kind of scrambling right now to try. Yeah. Like, he really didn't plan this at all, and now he's had so many twists that he's struggling to find out how to make all of those twists make any sense.
Yeah, they gotta twist back into a story. Yeah.
Yeah. The man, truly, he doesn't know when to quit.
Yeah.
Well.
Well, heck.
That's our mini-sode. It was it the one that was most about ourselves and least about Glee? Sorry to the person who left that review on Apple Podcasts.
But also, I don't know, like, but there are so many people who like genuinely like to hear about it. And when I listen to podcasts, I don't do it to like get content. I listen to it because I'm lonely as freak.
Well, I also don't want someone who doesn't like how much we think about themselves to think that we're like, you're dumb and stupid. The deal is everyone has personal preferences. Everyone has personal tastes. Some people write us and they say, I love when you go off on tangents and talk about your lives. Yeah. Some people write us and they say, I wish you would focus more on Glee. Neither one is wrong.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we talk about what we talk about during these episodes.
Well, I'm happy you guys are here. Thank you for listening. If you
really like our thoughts on Glee, but you fast forward through when we talk about ourselves, we're happy that you listen.
Yeah. We don't care.
That's odd. There are podcasts where when they talk about certain things, I'm like, I'm going to hit the 30-second skip get back into it.
And we're happy to have you either way. Honestly, that's okay too. I don't know if I say it enough, but you guys truly are the light of my life. I'm sorry if your messages didn't make it in. We read them all, we listen to them all, we like take notes on them. They truly make us so happy. I love hearing from you guys. So thank you so much for writing in. If you want to be featured in the next one, you can send us a voicemail at anchor.fm. /recovering recovering leak. I know I said that right. I got all mixed up in my mind. And then you can also send us an email. A lot of people get like cut off in their voicemails because you're only allowed to send like a minute length. So if you have a lot of thoughts, go ahead and send us an email at recoveringleak@gmail.com.
Heck yeah. In 2 days, we'll be talking about grilled cheeses. Get ready for that.
Grilled cheeses.
And love you guys. Thanks for being here.
Thanks so much for
enjoying us talking enough that you listen to our mini-sodes.
Yeah, totally. Well, heck, hope you guys have a good week. Happy Monday. You can do this. I love you lots. Here's a little kiss on your forehead from us. Go spread some mini glee. Mwah.
Here's a mini kiss from me. Bing.
Oh, that was so sweet.
Just a little bell sound. All right, bye everyone.
Bye. Love you. See you later. Miss you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.